Let us next turn in God's holy word to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, our text will come from verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Let us hear this Psalm of David in its entirety. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious and infallible word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Then we recognize that the psalmist here has been conveying to us really the sheep's annual cycle, as the shepherd would have them in the home winter ranch and then lead them out into the green pastures along the still waters. He'd bring them even through the mountain valleys. He would bring them to those tabletop pastures in the mountaintops in the summer months to be nourished and provided for. And certainly, as we think of the valley of the shadow of death and the verse before, we might think, well, if a sheep cared for by the shepherd is led through this valley, then certainly, then as he comes out of that valley, that sheep would certainly know and certainly be provided for, and all the cares would be over, and there would be full blessing and freedom and liberty in the shepherd. And yet, there's this wilderness behind the valleys, on the other side of the valleys, far from home. The wildernesses, yes, where there's tabletop pastures, but there is great concerns also there and a need for the shepherd. But the shepherd and the sheep also know that they will not want anything because the Lord is their shepherd. And so these tablelands, they present cares that the shepherd must be aware of, and certainly cares for the sheep in these tabletops and with oil or balm given to protect them and care for them. I'd like to look at this verse 5, with the theme, the shepherd's wilderness provision. And we'll see that with three thoughts: that there is a prepared table, secondly, an anointed head, and thirdly, an overflowing cup. An overflowing cup. So, if we have our Bibles open, let's turn to Psalm 78 a moment. Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, we have all of this goodness and kindness of God revealed to rebellious Israel. And there in Psalm 78, we're called to give ear and incline our ear and to share with in our own hearts and in our own lives and also in our families and in our congregation and to all around. We're to share this goodness and this glory of God and all that he's done. And as you would share, you would speak of those things that he has done. And in a certain sense, this is what the sheep are doing as well, as they're reminding us that there is a shepherd who's cared for them, yes, through the valleys, but also on the mountaintops. And let's listen to something that is spoken of here in Psalm 78. There's this question, isn't there, as God has led Israel out of Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea, and delivered them from the Egyptians and the Egyptian rule and bondage. But then as they come into the wilderness, they begin to test God, because who's going to supply for us in this wilderness? And they tested God in verse 18 in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. And yes, in verse 19, they spoke against God. And they said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can He prepare a table in the wilderness? Can He feed us? Can He nourish us in the wilderness?" And listen to the works of God. Verse 20. "Behold, He struck the rock so that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide meat for His people?" And therefore the Lord heard, and He was furious, as if He couldn't do so in their minds, because they did not believe in Him. And yet He commanded the clouds above in verse 23 and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna for them to eat and gave them bread from heaven. They ate angels' food and they were full. He caused the east wind to blow and brought the south wind, and He rained meat upon them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. This is the glory of our God, the care and the provision of the shepherd in the wilderness for His people. But here in these wilderness journeys of the shepherd and His sheep in intimate care, as He would take them to those pastures, those tabletops, past the valleys, past the home ranch, there He would also provide for them their every need. And this took great preparation from the shepherd. The shepherd must go there long before he takes the flocks there. And he must go and survey the country. And he must know where to lay the sheep down and to bed the sheep. He must know what's going on with his sheep there. He must know what minerals need to be added, what salts need to be taken there. And he has this all in mind for the care of his flock. And he goes there and he surveys the land and he checks out whether there's poisonous weeds that he must be aware of and protect his sheep from. He must make sure that there's ample watering holes for the sheep, and that they're good and safe drinking sources for the sheep. He must make sure that there's no lurking enemies that could devour the sheep, the snakes that would come up out of the pits, and the jackals and the wolves and the cougars and the bears and all of these things. He had to make sure that his sheep would be protected from. It took great preparation and care of the shepherd as the sheep would be led through the valleys and into these plateaus of pasture. And David, knowing this, and we saw that last time already in 1 Samuel 17. As a shepherd, he recognized this, and he had experience with this as he delivered the sheep out of the lions and bears' jaws. And we know that there David had experience. But this is not just for David. This is really looking farther than David, but to the good shepherd who also cares for his sheep and protects his sheep, as we find in John 10. A hireling doesn't do so. He sees the enemy and he runs and he flees away. But Jesus, the good shepherd, cares for and defends and protects his sheep, especially in the wilderness. And here in our wilderness journey, Paul also in speaking to the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20 and in verse 28, and he says, "Therefore, you also, as under shepherds of the good shepherd, you are to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples unto themselves. Therefore, he says, watch and remember, because that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, and to do so with tears, said Paul. And isn't that what we seek to do as under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ? As the flock is taken into the wilderness journeys, and there's many dangers and many enemies all around, but to, with tears and prayers, to take heed to the flock of God, warning of dangers. These enemies are all around, aren't they? They're all around us. Satan is going about, we find in 1 Peter 5, going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he comes and he devours those vulnerable sheep that have just come through this valley of the shadow of death and now are hoping for a place to rest in these pastures and in the wilderness. And yet, they're vulnerable and they don't understand and see all of the enemies. And yet, The shepherd prepares the table. The shepherd sets the table. The shepherd has cared that the tables would be enemy-free. The world itself, the wilderness itself can be an enemy to the sheep. The harshness. And we think about how James talks about how we also who would be friends of the world then become the enemies of God. You see, we can't love the world and the things of this world because John says in 1 John 2, that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so we need to surrender again to the care of the shepherd as his flock because the enemy is going about. And the world is going about seeking to consume the sheep, especially those vulnerable sheep. But the good shepherd, he has finished the task. And his task has cost him his own life as the good shepherd. He has laid down his life that we might have life abundantly, even in our wilderness journey. The shepherd, then, who has not only given his life but has ascended into heaven, he spreads out good things for us in the table, in these tabletop pastures, doesn't he? He showers us with the bread himself, the bread of life, with his gospel message. He gives that to us. And who can compare to the table of what he's done for us? Even as we read in Psalm 78, that a table that was set before Israel, how much greater table is available for us and how much greater fountains for sin and ungodliness there are in the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherd, he delights to set before us in our pasture wilderness is the gospel from week to week as we gather in his house to hear of his word, day after day as we open up his word in way of devotions and we hear his voice. How he sets before us a table even in the sacraments. Hopefully this afternoon also, Lord willing, we witness the sacrament of baptism, but also in way of the Lord's Supper, he sets before us in the presence of our enemies oases and feast in this pasture on this table. And he comes and he says, eat my friends. He says, drink abundantly and to be drunk with my love and my mercy and my goodness to you. For I have come and I have defeated sin. I have defeated Satan. I have defeated death. Oh, the thought that Jesus has come. He has come into the world to overcome the world and to crush the head of Satan and to put death to death. But did not Christ promise, even from eternity, that he would stand guard for his flock as that great high priest, that chief high priest, interceding for us at the right hand of God, who never sleeps, who never grows weary, But 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he cares for us and he protects us. And no wonder Isaiah says in Isaiah 54 verse 17, he says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Not one weapon will prosper against his sheep. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You shall prevail. You shall prevail." So our boasting is not in the pasture itself. Our boasting is not in our good and obedient care as we go to the right places in the pasture and we fight hard. Our boast is in the shepherd himself who provides these tabletops. He has prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Secondly, he anoints my head with oil. He anoints my head with oil. And here again, we recognize the necessity of this shepherd's anointing and the anointing balm, especially for the head of the sheep. Philip Keller here uses some illustrations as to the necessity of this. And he says, the first place, he basically says there's three different dangers that the sheep find, especially in these pastures. And this is summertime. So in the first place, he says, there's flies all around and they multiply like crazy at this time of the year. And they torture the sheep and will cause them to flee. I remember in our cow barns too, and the flies would come in and they would start nipping at the ankles of the cows, and they would all flock together and they'd be swatting each other with their tails to try to keep the flies off. And the more they packed in, the more humid it got and the more flies there would be, and it exasperated the problem. And you think, well, just spread out. And then you'd put the fans on and the flies would disperse and the cows again would be comfortable and go up to the bunk and to eat and to be productive. And the same thing happens for the sheep. These flies would be irritants. They'd annoy them. And they'd be so terrible that these nasal flies, the flies that would come into their nose, would embed in the mucus and bore into their nostril passages and create infections. And as this would swell up and inflammation would come, they would try to get away from it. And they'd go and beat their noses against rocks and trees and be a disaster. The ewes would become non-productive and the lambs would begin to starve. Isn't this what happens in a spiritual way too, when temptations and guilt and shame and all of the irritants that we might not even see in one another, but that so many people might be going through and in their minds and in their consciences, and all of this guilt and shame, it creates infection and you don't know where to go with it. And it leaves us incapacitated and unproductive. Secondly, he says that the sheep, they would develop scab as they would go and be budding around throughout these wildernesses, budding in the world, as it were, around them. They would get infections and all of these little parasites that you couldn't even see would cause great infections on their faces. And this would be devastating also, again, for the sheep in similar ways. And this is why the Old Testament, it talks about the sacrificial lambs needed to be those without any kind of blemish. And here they needed to be free from scabs. They needed to be free from the impact with the world and with sin and with evil that would cause this infection. Thirdly, he says, they needed to be free from wounds. Many times as they would go through the valleys or trip on rocks or break a leg caught somewhere or cut open by a briar, these sheep would have open wounds that needed to be cared for and healed. They needed the shepherd in these wilderness places, to put those anointing, healing balms upon them. He needed to be equipped. He needed to be able to use this anointing liberally to keep the flies away, to keep the scab from developing, and to protect the infection in the wounds. And here we can probably even identify ourselves to some degree, can't we? Imagine, children, if you were to go on holidays for the summer and you were going to a nice place where you thought, oh, it's just going to be beautiful, and you're going to enjoy this summer oasis at the lake or camping or cottaging, and there you come, and the first day you go out and you haven't been exposed to the sun very long at all in the summertime yet, and you go out and it's a beautiful day and the sun is shining and you're out all day long, and at night you come in and you're as red as a beet. And the rest of the week you're suffering with the pain of sunburn. But if there would have been some suntan lotion, some balm applied to you on that first day, you would have enjoyed the whole week. Very similar for these sheep. If that anointing balm, that anointing oil was upon them, they would be separated from the flies, separated from the scab, separated from the infection and their wounds, and then they would be productive and enjoy their service. But this is exactly the point that the Bible is making for us as Christians. God comes and he anoints, first of all, his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Messiah, to be the anointed one, to be the one who is separate, the one who could overcome the world. And then he gives that anointing. Remember, as he ascends to heaven, he also gives that anointing as he promises the Holy Spirit to be given to all as another comforter, a helper. And that anointing is symbolic of the Holy Spirit given to his people. It was given to David upon his anointing to be the king of Israel, to be set apart to be king. It was given to the Lord Jesus Christ to carry out his office as a redeemer and to equip him to do his miracles and to suffer and to die for sinners and to live a perfectly obedient life. And so he gives his anointing. As we become partakers of that anointing, we confess that in Lord's Day 12. We become partakers of his anointing. That's why we are called Christians. And he anoints our head with oil. He makes us partakers of his anointing by his Holy Spirit, that we would carry the office of prophet, priest, and king. And this anointing, it strengthens us. It equips us. It keeps us in a healthy relationship with the Lord. And this anointing is absolutely certain as the Holy Spirit abides in his people, in his sheep. Think about what John says in 1 John 2. He says, these things I write to you concerning those who try to deceive you, all of those enemies that might try to deceive you, those flies that would get up into your nostrils, those parasites that would cause scab on your head, those wounds, all of those who would try to deceive you. I'm going to write to you concerning them. He says, but anointing that you have received from him, it abides in you. Because of that anointing, you don't have to fear those who deceive. You don't have to fear those who lie. And you do not need that anyone teach you even, he says. And obviously that can be taken too far, but some anointing teaches you concerning all things. The Holy Spirit anoints and he teaches us. He brings us into knowledge of all of these things. And then he confirms it and he assures us that this is true. It's not a lie. That anointing that he gives to us protects us from all Christ's enemies and our enemies. The Good Shepherd has given himself. We abide in him through the Holy Spirit, anointed, partakers of his anointing. And that anointing, that healing balm is what gives us the ability to live this life as a witness, as our cups overflow because of His grace. He fills our cups with His anointing. He covers us with His anointing. He fills our cups as it runs over and boils over. You know, for Israel in the times of Jeremiah, it's asked the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no comfort? There was so many cares and concerns. Israel was at the brink of collapse. Is there no oils? Is there no medicinal qualities? Is there no care for the sheep of the Lord any longer? And He comes then in Jeremiah 46. And He says, go up to Gilead and take balm. There truly is healing in Israel. There is true healing. You can look for medicines everywhere else in this world. You can go to Egypt and look. You can go everywhere in this world and look. But you shall not be cured. But there is healing balm. There is curing in Gilead. There is comfort. There is help in the Holy Spirit through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the anointed one of God is the appointed one of God to carry out our salvation and to empower us by His grace. That is true comfort. And that fills our cups with gladness and joy as we become partakers of His anointing. It comes through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord, says Jesus, is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to do what? To preach good tidings to the poor. Those whose cups are empty, they get the good tidings. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Those who are broken and separated because of their brokenness, they're healed and they're restored. He comes to proclaim liberty to the captives. Those who are locked away are now free, and they're free indeed. The opening of prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. And to comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. And to give beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they, that they may be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Oh, how precious. That anointing oil that fills our cups. It turns our mourning into joy. It turns our ashes into beauty. It turns our heaviness into praise. This is the joy of the Lord. His anointing filling our cups and overflowing from our cups in delightful service to Him. That is the joy of the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. Yes, my cup, it runs over. It runs over. It runs over. What does it run over with? It runs over with His own grace, with His own mercy. The Spirit where grace is in our life. That of humility. We overflow with humility. When God becomes so big to us, and our cups... Just consider this, children. If you had a cup, and no matter how big you make that cup, would that cup ever hold God Himself? Would it ever hold the blessings that He's given you already in your life? Would it ever hold and be able to contain all that He's done for a sinner like me? The cup has got to overflow. Because our God is bigger than any cup you could ever imagine. Any cup you could ever imagine. Our God is a big God. And the bigger we see our God, the smaller we become. And the smaller our cups come. And that cup, it overflows. And we put a saucer underneath it to try to catch it all. And the saucer begins to overflow. And then we put it on the table, and it begins to run off the table for all to see the grace and the mercy of God as He sends His Spirit and fills us with His Spirit and equips us with His Spirit. He anoints our head with oil. That we might decrease and He might increase. Isn't that so true in Psalm 103? That humility leads us to simply praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. He who forgives all your sins, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the God who is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He's a big God, and we are small, insignificant, sinful people who need His shepherding care and receive by faith that shepherding care. It overflows with humility, and it overflows with a peace that passes all understanding. And no matter what you're going through in life, no matter where this wilderness journey is bringing you, and no matter what infections you might have received, and no matter what trials you might have gone through, and no matter what pain, He gives a peace that passes all understanding. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Partakers of his anointing receive perfect peace. As their cups overflow with peace, you know the example well, don't you? Of Horatio Spafford. In his life, as he's lost everything in the Chicago fire, as everything him and his family have sought to build up is vanished, and as he's salvaging whatever he can after this fire, and he sends his wife and his children on ahead in a ship to Europe, and the ship tragically sinks, and all four of his children perish, and his wife survives, and she's in Europe. She sends a telegram back, saved alone. And there, as he travels to Europe to comfort his grieving wife and to grieve with her, God gives him the grace. Grace that passes all understanding. Peace that passes all understanding. As he comes across that part where the ship sank, and he says, where peace like a river attendeth my way, where sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet me, those enemies would seek to devour me, though trials of all sorts would come, this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and a good shepherd has shed his own blood for my soul. What peace. What peace when sin, oh, that blissful thought, to be done with, not in part but the whole, to be seized, to be nailed to the cross, that I would bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Our cups overflow with peace. They overflow with liberty. They overflow with love. They overflow with gratitude. They overflow with servanthood. They overflow day after day, week after week. Is your cup overflowing? Has he not set before us a table in the wilderness as we gather under the preaching of his word? Does he not set a table before us in the wilderness when we see him in the sacraments? Is your cup overflowing? You ask, why not? Maybe your cup is upside down and not even being filled. Is that a picture of your soul? It would be a grace that you would turn that cup upside right, Godward, toward the great shepherd who pours his anointing oil to be filling your cup. Or maybe you look at your cup and you'd say, well, it's maybe half empty at best, or half full at best, whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. Or maybe that cup needs to be placed closer to the fountain of salvation, closer to that healing balm of Gilead, closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Maybe you need to be closer to him in his word. Maybe you look at your cup and you see all kinds of contaminants floating in it. Maybe I ask you, what are you filling your cup with? Is it being filled with good devotions and good things in your life to fill you with God's grace by His Spirit? Or are you filling your cup with the trinkets of the world and all of the things that seek to distract you from the Good Shepherd? What's filling your cup? What does the cup say about you? Do others see, and do they share in the overflow of your cup? The psalmist says, he sets a table before me in the presence of his enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup is filling. It's overflowing. That's the secret. To know that goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us first receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.